is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Just 39 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me now, our next guest on the First Advantage Hotline, or text hotline, there it is, hotline, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado. Text, phone, call, you know, they all run the same nowadays, man. Kevin, good to get you on the program, my friend.
Always good to be here, Brady.
I'm looking forward to Rams Weekly. It's a shorter version today, but that's okay. We'll pack a punch. We'll go at 5 o'clock. We'll be done at 5:30. Sending it over to Jerry Schimmel on the call tonight for UNC and Eastern Washington, so a big matchup there. But, Kevin, CSU loses last night. They lose in overtime. They had the lead over San Diego State at halftime, but you pair that with the win against UNLV, which was just absolutely insane. Do you feel like this team is starting to turn a corner?
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely if you kind of look at the 30,000-foot view and kind of push aside the frustration of a game that could have been won last night, yeah, there's no doubt that this last week has been a good sign for CSU that they have maybe turned a corner a little bit, figured some things out a little bit, and are moving in the direction you would hope they are, because no doubt those the efforts they gave, especially defensively in these last two games, are really what you needed to see from this team after that Air Force game. And really, that Air Force game was so bad that it obviously took a lot of shine off, but really it's been four of the last five CSU's had a pretty decent effort. They were, the Nevada game was somewhat similar of one they could have won and were right in it. Obviously, they're very good against Fresno, very good against UNLV, and pretty good against San Diego State. So, yeah, I think if you're a CSU fan, you have to hope that the trajectory is going in the right way now.
Maybe it looks like that Air Force game was more of an outlier, that maybe that was just a really, 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 really bad night, and maybe the real team that we're seeing is the one that duked it out with San Diego State, the one that beat UNLV, and as you said, the one that took it to Nevada pretty good, didn't win, but it was a good game. So maybe those are all really good signs going forward for Colorado State.
Yeah, I think you have to hope that that's the case. I mean, I don't think we can necessarily call it fully an outlier because they've had other games like that with, UNC. Colorado is a little bit different situation, but they've, had several of these kind of bad games. So maybe not an outlier, but yeah, not the norm or, what we've seen the last week is more, the expectation what the team, probably is and will be moving forward.
So, Kevin, take us through last night's game against the Aztecs. The Rams have the lead at the half, 34-28. What was working for CSU, and then obviously what ultimately got them in the end, allowing the Aztecs to force overtime and then pull away and win outscored CSU 17-10 or 11, I think, in overtime. So what was the good, the bad, and the ugly about that game?
Yeah, I mean, I think the good was pretty much when CSU was in the half court, they were able to score, I don't want to say at will, but at a pretty good clip, especially considering San Diego State. In the half court, the Rams were really good, moved the ball well. You had a lot of guys. Jalen Lake had his best offensive game. He seems to really be coming on. Isaiah Rivera was good. Cartier, he didn't have a high volume of shots, but he was scoring efficiently, which, again, is a good sign against that defense. And then CSU's defense, I think, was pretty good, for most of the night, really. The bad and how the game turned was on turnovers, and really the number of turnovers CSU had wasn't anything that alarming as 14 in 45 minutes, which, again, especially against San Diego State, isn't that bad a number. The problem was they were, Nico Medved calls them catastrophic turnovers. A lot of, pick sixes, if you will, where CSU turned it over right midcourt and it led to a dunk, or there's one that led to a wide open three. Those ones are killer, especially San Diego State. In the first 10 minutes of the second half, couldn't score at all. They couldn't do anything. But those turnovers really ignited San Diego State, ignited a comeback when at one point the Rams looked fairly firmly in control.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And what's the magic number now for Isaiah Stevens? He's got to be getting very close to that assist record, Kevin. 11 assists for him last night. I mean, what are we in the single digits now? How many more does he need?
Awesome. I mean, he didn't have his best shooting night, but 11 assists and just one turnover against mostly Lamont Butler, who's one of the best defenders in the league. Really good game. So Isaiah is now one away from tying Ryan Yoder's assist record, two away, obviously, from breaking it. So that, you know, knock on wood, barring anything, you know, pretty terrible, Isaiah should break that on Saturday in Laramie. So, yeah, there's been a number that we've kind of all known would fall at some point, but now that's here, it's really impressive, especially, you know, I think it's cool that Isaiah's doing it. You know, you could argue he's playing the best ball of his career right now, so it's kind of cool that he's doing it, you know, in that way.
Yeah, no doubt. Just, again, that UNLV game was special. The double-double last night was very good. Even on a night where he struggled from the three-point line, Kevin, he still put up 16 points. So Isaiah Stevens is just truly one of those great players that's going to go down in history as one of the greats for Colorado State, regardless of how this season goes. But plenty of season left for Colorado State, including a big one coming up on Saturday against their bitter rival in Wyoming. And Wyoming's kind of been in a tough spot the last few weeks, too.
Yeah, Wyoming, I mean, you know, we've talked a lot about CSU's, you know, misfortune with some injuries and various things happening. It's nothing as bad as Wyoming's. Wyoming's had a crazy run of stuff. It seems like every night they're missing, you know, 5-6 players. Obviously, Graham Ike hasn't played all year. I don't expect to see him Saturday. Hunter Maldonado missed last game. I think he probably will play, but they've had quite a run, and you know, they've been in some games. They just, you know, haven't been able to win them. So I think there's no doubt they'll be desperate to get, you know, their first Mountain West win and make it against CSU.
Yeah, you're right, though. Wyoming, they've just been they've been in a tough spot. Of course, Graham Ike at the beginning of the season, and then Hunter Maldonado dealing with some of his stuff. I mean, a lot of injuries for the Cowboys for sure, but still a big opportunity for CSU. Two big road tests coming up, as we talked about, Wyoming, and then a week. Then they get a week off. Is that right? They don't play again until the 28th against Boise State.
Yeah, kind of a bye week middle of next week, which is really good for CSU because, you know, yeah, these are college kids. They're in really good shape. They recover quickly. But three straight overtime games, you have a lot of minutes on those legs. And, you know, CSU is basically playing kind of eight-plus players, eight, and then, you know, Baylor Hebb's getting a few minutes here and there. So, you know, Isaiah Stevens is well over 120 minutes in the last three games combined. So, you know, it's going to be tough Saturday in Wyoming for a lot of reasons. And then after that, I think there's no doubt, you know, some of those guys like Isaiah Stevens, John Tonjay, you know, those high usage guys are going to need a little break on the lake. So I think it's a pretty good time for CSU to have, you know, quote unquote, a bye week.
Kevin, my man, what are you working on for us at the Colorado and that we can check out throughout the day and in leading us up to that Wyoming game?
Yeah, obviously right now I kind of have a full breakdown of what and how everything went down last night against San Diego State. And working on some other stuff, Isaiah Stevens related. I had a good chat with Nico Medved. He shared some pretty cool stories about sort of the early days of Isaiah Stevens at CSU. So I'll have that in a story when he does break that record, which, like I say, should be Saturday. So plenty of interesting stuff coming this weekend.
All right, my friend. Well, we'll see you later this afternoon for Rams Weekly, you and Chris Abshire. So we're looking forward to that, as always. In the meantime, we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Sounds great. Thanks, Brady.
All right, Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Yeah, that's going to be – well, I'll be special for Isaiah if he can break the assist record against Wyoming on their floor. I mean, you want him to do it at home in front of your home court, but yeah, this is a nice little consolation prize. Do it against your rival there with the Wyoming Cowboys. Angel, Ian Rappaport just shared this moments ago. Let's make sure that's the right one. It is. John Harbaugh says, Lamar Jackson is our quarterback. There is a 200% chance that he stays. That's it. I mean, he's not going to say that. He's not going to put his neck out on the line if he knows something differently. Can't imagine. I mean, you know, you just like your Dolphins saying Tua is our guy and nobody else. Lamar's doing, or the Ravens are doing the same thing. I think that's it.
It is interesting because I did just see a tweet because the GM and coach are doing their press conference, and he was asked about trading Lamar. And they said it's not on the table right now. We're working on the long-term deal. Sounds like if they don't get a deal done, he's trading. Or they're going to franchise
tag
him.
Well, they'll have to tag him and trade him or sign and trade or whatever. I don't know, though. I don't think.
The firing of the OC is interesting.
Yeah, and he said, of course, he said he'll be involved in the OC hire, too. Lamar. I don't think you're going to allow your head coach to go stick his neck out quite like that. I mean, Elway with Tebow was like, yeah, he's our quarterback. Well, because he was. He was under contract. Because you had to trade Tebow. I don't think management and such are going to let their respected coach that they love and John Harbaugh come out and say something like that, knowing there's a chance he's not coming back. Dude, Lamar's coming back. He's going to be with the Ravens next week or next year.
Do you think he resets the quarterback market?
Yeesh. Probably. If that's what he's wanting, and that's the only way that they're going to get him, and they say that they're going to get him, he's going to be paid. Who's the top paid right now? Is it Rodgers or is it Mahomes? He probably does. Which, as much as I like Lamar Jackson, I don't see why he should be the top paid quarterback. What is it? It's like Mahomes and Rodgers, Dak Prescott's up there. Some of those top quarterbacks. I mean, there's some interesting guys on this list. I don't see him reset. Maybe so. He probably does. You know, the highest quarterback, Rodgers is the highest paid right now. He's being paid, what? He signed the 4-year, $200 million deal. Well, Russell Wilson's up there. Kyler Murray's up there. All three quarterbacks. Deshaun Watson's up there. The top four quarterbacks, paid-wise, did make the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes is fifth. Is that right?
Yep.
And then it's Josh Allen. And then it's Derek Carr. Wow. Stafford's up there. Dak Prescott. Look at these quarterbacks.
Jared Goff. Lamar's going to get $50 million a year.
That's just outrageous to me. Just totally bizarre world we're in. I mean, if that's what he's wanting, and
but is it smart to put that much money on that kind of quarterback?
No. I mean, hell, is it smart to do it with Rodgers?
Probably not.
Smart to do it with Russ?
Absolutely, 100% yes.
Yes? Smart to do it with Murray?
It was smart until he hurt his knee.
Watson?
No, that was dumb.
I don't know, man. Rodgers is making, just north of $50 million?
Josh Allen's at $43 million right now.
Wow.
Does Lamar get more than Josh Allen?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Baltimore's going to give him 45 plus. They will. I'm telling you.
I know they will. It's just so dumb.
What I told you the other day, like, teams are more likely to just go all in on the guys that they know are somewhat proven rather than the what if. Because what if for Baltimore? What's the backup plan? The unknown. And they already have a guy that's good if he can stay healthy. All right, 12:52 the time. We need to take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll wrap up this hour. Moving on forward to the third and final hour, we'll talk all the things NFL, more on the Nuggets, the poll question, Sean Payton concerns, all that and more coming up next. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and Their Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.